Do you know the number one thing that surprises engaged couples? Take a guess. The sheer amount of decisions they have to make while planning a wedding. Indoors or outdoors? How many guests? Are kids invited? Controversial. Which cake flavor? Seriously, how do you even begin to figure out what's right for you? That's where Zola comes in. Zola has everything you need to make every wedding decision a piece of cake, from choosing your dream wedding venue and vendors to deciding how to best spend your budget. With tons of customizable wedding websites, save the dates and invites, every detail will feel like you. Zola will even help you choose the gifts, experiences, and cash funds you really want. The next thing you know, you've planned your whole wedding all in one place. From getting engaged to getting married, Zola has everything you need to plan your wedding in one place. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Here we go. Jake and Josh are here to analyze the game they love for the team they love. This is another Dolphins podcast. Here's your host, Jake Mendel and Josh House.
Thanks for tuning into another edition of another Dolphins podcast. It is the moment everyone's been waiting for, the buildup. 8 months of sharpening your football team, of developing your roster. And Josh, by December 1st, we can officially say, for the fifth year in a row, we got to deal with the Buffalo Bills being AFC East champions. Dude, it's December 1st. It's December 3rd when we're recording this, and we're already talking that the Buffalo Bills have secured the AFC East, dude. Give me a break.
So much different than the beginning of the season, right? When we're talking about the Bills window closing and, you know, this is going to be the Dolphins' year. Yes, it is absolutely heartbreaking, and I just want to know what we deserved, right? What we did to deserve this. We had Tom Brady. We were able to overcome some of those battles, but having Tom Brady and now Josh Allen having to deal with him, I mean, he is literally our dad. So, yeah, I'm not going to congratulate them for winning the AFC East. I wish we could say it was different, but it's so sad that we're sitting here December 3rd and AFC East is already wrapped up, man.
I was born in 1994. People tell me this is a franchise that used to be good, Josh, but let's go back to the year 2000. I was 6 years old. Since then, I've seen three quarterbacks win the AFC East. Tom Brady, Josh Allen the last five times, and then a couple sprinkles on top. We have Chad Pennington, once with the Jets, one once with the Dolphins. And don't get me wrong, that 2008 year, I'm clinching that. I'm white-knuckling as hard as possible, holding on to that season. But my God, man, just kind of thinking about this, you're seeing the graphics, you know, the Buffalo Bills social media teams going on a victory parade, as they should. Winning five straight division titles is not easy. But man, oh man, as this is unfolding, as the Dolphins played on Thursday, we've had 10 days between games to absolutely stew on losing another cold weather primetime game, this time to the Green Bay Packers. And Josh, I just can't help but think about that 2020 draft class. Just because, like, you think about this established Buffalo Bills team, you have Ed Oliver in the trenches, you have Josh Allen, you have Deion Dawkins at left tackle. Man, the Dolphins had five of the top 70 picks of the 2020 draft class. Two of them are still on the Dolphins. You had Tua, you had Austin Jackson, Noah Igbinoghene, Robert Hunt, Raekwon Davis, and Brandon Jones. Josh, the Dolphins right now are on like their sixth string cornerback. And I don't want to put you on the spot. I know it's unfair to do this. Do you have some Noah Igbinoghene stats for me?
I was gonna say I really wish I did. I sent you the TM. I normally swap out the
ninth in man coverage rate, 16th in man coverage success rate, 6th in yards per route allowed, and 5th in yards per target allowed. Dolphins general manager Chris Greer not only drafted this man with the 31st pick in the 2020 draft, I think it was 30th, they traded him for Kelvin Joseph, who exactly, and now he's helping a team that's headed to the playoffs. Josh, the Dolphins have Jordan Poyer, who's, you said all year, a Trojan horse. Brandon Jones has gone nuclear for the Denver Broncos. Like, how much longer can we do this? And I'm sorry I cut you off there. I just really wanted to get to those Igbinoghi stats. Like, seeing the Bills do this for five straight years and just seeing this nonsense happening in South Florida, man, you see these guys walk out the door. It's insane.
Yeah, and I mean, we all want to sit here and bash Chris Greer, but I mean, again, I think his biggest Achilles heel, or like the death of him, is going to be not re-signing an Andrew Van Ginkle, not, you know, I don't know, getting the most juice out of a Noah Igbinoghi. I mean, that's Dan Quinn there, right? I mean, he's one of the best defensive minds in football, so he could get the most out of him. You thought Brian Flores, I mean, at one point, you know, Josh.
You know who's another good defensive mind?
You were going to say Vic Fangio.
Vic Fangio, dude.
Vic Fangio, of course. So I wish I would have looked up. I mean, I retweeted that as soon as I saw it. Like, oh, man, what timeline are we in that Noah Igbinoghi is now a guy that the Washington
– he's not elite, but yeah, he's a player.
No, yeah, it's just so painful. And it just goes back to just where are we – like, it's just that's so Dolphins, man. And I have to laugh that you brought that up, that only Chad Pennington, Tom Brady, and Josh Allen have won the division. Because, dude, I have my little – you see the little – I was at that when they won the AFC East.
Oh, and dude, that's sick.
You thought something was going to happen, though, since then, right? So maybe we should be more thankful for Bernard Pollard. Wasn't he the one that took out Tom Brady that year? I mean, that's the only reason the Dolphins even won the division that year. I think because Matt Castle came in.
They were still like 10-6, right?
They still almost made it, yeah. Jesus. Patriots, man.
You know another issue the Dolphins have, Josh? It seems like every game, and Liam Eikenberg is fine. I think Robert Jones is fine. Kendall Lamb is fine. You can't have all three of them on the same offensive line. You need some sort of playmakers on the offensive line. Kendall Lamb is a month away from retirement. You're hoping his body will hold up. Well, Josh, how about Robert Hunt? Could you imagine what he would look like in a Miami Dolphins uniform instead of Liam Eikenberg, face down, butt up, every single snap? Do you notice I can think of that kind of a playmaker the Dolphins would have? You have Devon Achane running for 19 yards in Green Bay against the Packers. And we know he's a great player. I think we both kind of say he's more of a playmaker, Swiss Army knife. You don't want him getting 30 carries a game. But, dude, 7 carries for 19 yards or whatever it was, that's a bigger issue. And it's just... 5 straight years we've had to deal with the Buffalo Bills. Josh Allen, and it pains me to say this, he's literally Chris Pratt from Parks and Rec. It's so hard to dislike this guy. I've won multiple fantasy football championships against him. But seeing him just throw, catch, and run a touchdown all in the same game while our quarterback's complaining that we should just sit back and keep eating chips, dude. It's just, it's a very tough situation we find ourselves in.
And I have that. I mean, all fan bases go through this, right? Where we're sitting here saying, what if? And you're, I hope so. Like, because we have so many different timelines, man, where, like, if things would have lined up differently or the time, I mean, it's just so sad to be a Dolphins fan. And again, seeing Josh Allen run that division and just wondering how much, I mean, this dude's in his prime, right? I mean, unless his wife wants him to be a stay-at-home father or something like that, this dude's going to be tormenting us for probably another decade. And then you got Drake May, who's starting to look solid. I mean, the Jets are probably going to screw their way into a good quarterback here sooner than later. So, oh man, it's just so sad being a Dolphins fan. And somehow, Jake, we're still in the hunt through all of that, which is still completely baffling my mind to even sit here on December 3rd with this team, with how terrible and, you know, disarray things have been at times. And somehow, some way, man, they're still in the hunt.
That would have been a sick transition, Josh, but I got to keep going here for a quick second. The Dolphins desperately need help at edge rusher. Let's look at that 2020 draft, Josh. We spent all season, we got Mo Camara, right? Like, he won't be an impact player, but he'll be a guy, right? He'll be a rotational guy, right? He'll be someone we can rely on to play a few snaps. He hasn't done anything. Curtis Weaver and Jason Strobridge, both from the 2020 draft, both fifth round picks, played one season. Strobridge appeared in 8 games, and that's entirely it. Dude, that 2020 draft, that's got to be it for Chris Greer. This has to be it. Just looking at that draft, and you think, The last 5 years, 2020, the Bills have won 5 straight division titles. What have the Dolphins done in that time? Well, we had to watch 3 of the worst losses in franchise history to the Cowboys, to the Ravens, and I think the Patriots were in there. We got to watch that. We got to lose a draft pick because of tanking. And then we get this draft class full of 6 guys in the top 70 who are still playing 5 years later. 2 of them are on the Dolphins. Austin Jackson, Josh, I think he's been a great story, and I think it's cool that he's been able to develop and find himself as a right tackle. If we have to say year one, hey, he's 19 years old, we got to give him a couple years to develop, we're already losing, brother. At pick 19, at pick 18, if we're already saying we got to give him a couple years, 18th overall, dude, and we're like, all right, maybe this franchise left tackle, he'll be an all right right tackle. Nothing against Austin Jackson. I think he's a good player. I think what's happened's been great. You can't pick him there, man. You can't pick Noah Igbinoghi for him to not play for 3 straight years. The Dolphins' defense, Josh, what do people say about this unit? They can't tackle? They're not physical? They're not tough? What was Noah Igbinoghi supposed to be? Another, he's 19 years old. Give him a couple years. Physical? Smart? And he can't see the field when you have Brian Flores, defensive mind. You have Vic Fangio launch him to the sun for a bag of Cheetos. And Josh, the Dolphins not once but twice wanted to get rid of Andrew Van Ginkle. It was only because Vic Fangio called him last offseason. I think it was CK Parrott, 3 yards per carry, who brought that up. That, hey, it was actually Fangio who called Van Ginkle and said, hey, we'd love to have you back because this team is softer than toilet paper. I think I'm done now. I'm sorry. I've been stewing.
Don't be sorry, man. Like, I've been stewing on it, and the voices in my head have been trying to talk me off the ledge. Like, I don't know where we're at. I think we can all agree Chris Greer, like, just yeet him into the sun and then figure out what the next – yeah, it's Jover. Figure out what the next GM wants to do. I think we can all sit here and say Mike McDaniel's going to have success somewhere, right? I don't know if it'll be Miami. I don't know if a GM's going to keep him around. But, again, it's just – I don't know how he wasn't already fired, though. I mean, that's what's so baffling to me is how he just – I think someone compared him to like that cockroach that like survives like a nuclear explosion and just somehow survives. And he's just, and who's to say he's still not going to somehow survive. And that's our biggest nightmare, right? At this point is, I don't know, man, just brutal. So bad.
Brutal. I am going to transition now, Josh. Do you have any final salty thoughts here? Do you have any final, Chris Greer gripes, airing of grievances?
No, and I just do you have like a like I know we're not GM experts or anything like that. I mean, the Mike McDaniel way to keep him around for me was always, you know, are they going to promote Reggie McKenzie? Are they going to promote Marvin Allen? But that's continuously what the Dolphins have done, right? They copy and paste the GM with a coach or a coach with a GM, and I feel like if you get rid of Chris Greer, you just gotta see the way the domino plays. And I don't know, man, it's just so sad. You reminded me of the Brian Flores. That's what I always go back to every time now. When it's like, okay, Mike McDaniel, I'm really happy for him. I like the progression. But we said the same damn thing about Brian Flores, and we restarted. Who's to say that's not what's best for this team? Down bad, man. Isn't there a song? Down bad, something down the man.
Josh, you always know how to pull me back up. This will be a longer conversation throughout the offseason, but I think right now I'm at the point where give me a Dennis Hickey GM, somebody who we're going to jack up for a year, call him the Silver Fox, and then we can launch the moon. And then you give Mike McDaniel, you give the core one more year. That's where I'm at right now. They could go 10-7, prove us wrong, but that's kind of like an only Sith deal in absolute. So things could certainly change, but I'm all for, you know, launch Chris Greer to the moon, bring in the whatever GM you want. McDaniel, if you can prove enough and get that playoff win, build on that momentum.
Donald Ponte, come save us, Donald Ponte. I keep having this, and people like to, say Vrabel's the guy that should come in here and help turn us. And I keep wondering, Belichick as the GM and Vrabel as the head coach, like I think that's like a nightmare. But I could just see being so Dolphins. So yes, yeet Chris Greer under the sun, get him out of there, and hopefully someone that can come in here and play nice with McDaniel, and hopefully we can, you know, build on the promise that we once saw. I mean, there's no reason why we're sitting here, man, on December 3rd and we're watching the Buffalo Bills celebrate doing snow angels and shit while we're clawing and scratching for our playoff life.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Dolphins have had 10 days to kind of reassess and refocus after Thursday's loss to the Green Bay Packers. On December 3rd, we are finally preparing for the first Aaron Rodgers New York Jets phase versus the Miami Dolphins this week. And Josh, we do have some positive injury news. There was a little shooting star hope that Shaq Barrett would be back. The Miami Dolphins said, no thanks, we're good. And I think we're starting to see why. The Miami Dolphins opened the 21-day practice windows for Bradley Chubb, who was having one of an entire career year last year, and Cameron Good, a 2022 seventh-round pick, who wasn't really being a game-changing player, but once Jalen Phillips went down last year and he saw some playing time, you'd start to pick up his number on the field. He'd be like, oh, turn your head, play here, play there. Someone you could kind of get excited about. So, Josh, all of a sudden, this defensive edge depth chart you're relying on, you know, Quentin Bell for a few snaps here, Emmanuel Ogba a few snaps there. Bradley Chubb and Cameron Good would certainly give you that late season boost the Dolphins have been waiting for about a decade.
Yeah, I think I once tweeted, you can't spell Cameron Wake as good without Cameron Good. So, I mean, I think you're definitely, you know, talked about it or hinted at it. You know, this is why Shaq Barrett wasn't brought back. This might even be why, you know, the reports that Chris Greer and Mike McDaniel didn't even discuss this thing, sort of speak, because they knew Bradley Chubb was coming back. They were going to open his window. They knew Cameron Good. Again, he was a seventh round pick, but that's still a player that Chris Greer and his staff, you know, picked out of a crop of players. So you want to, yeah, pick, that might have just been a hat. His hat. That's what he does. So I always had
yes.
Damn, that is so sad. So I don't even know where I was going. Yeah, so this is some great news, man. And I just, if you're Bradley Chubb, I mean, I think before this year, we were sitting here wondering, you know, are the Dolphins going to restructure him at the end of this year, maybe potentially move on? I mean, at this point, you want to see Bradley Chubb come back hungry and hope to somehow pick up where he left off those 11 sacks. I mean, you once thought that maybe it was going to be Jalen Phillips or Bradley Chubb. I mean, I don't know long-term what the answer is there, but short-term, Bradley Chubb coming back is absolutely going to help, and maybe Cameron Good shows a little bit of something, but I think we just figured out what that hat's for, man, and that kills me.
Dude, it's like he tries to, like, shake his hat. He's like, got to adjust. You just see a couple names fall. Crap, that's my draft class. No!
Most are from South Carolina, right? Doesn't he always pick Gamecocks? Like, he plays with his son.
Oh, no, dude. Oh, no. All right, Bradley Chubb. So, Josh, we both write for the FinSider. I wrote a story about the practice windows opening for these both these players on the FinSider. Within 5 minutes, the first comment I get, just one comment on the bottom. Who cares? Who cares? The Dolphins are 5-7. There's a month left in the season. Well, mister, you care enough that you're willing to write that. Number two, I think Mike McDaniel had a really great quote talking about Bradley Chubb and Cameron Good coming back to practice and really just working their tails off, where he kind of focused in on the fact that throughout the entire season, throughout training camp, you had 90 players who saw them just practicing, working on the sideline, recovering from their injury. You saw them throughout training camp. You saw them throughout the preseason. You saw them throughout the bye week. They have sat there and worked their butt off in order to get back on the playing field. And Josh, I think that's why we care, because while they're at 5-7, we're dumb Dolphin fans, and there's still hope left in the season. So this team better care, because you can still make sweeping changes. Yes, people got, you know, paid. You mentioned it. Bradley Chubb, Jalen Phillips, you really can shake that crystal ball for about 25 minutes and you're still not going to get a clear answer about these two guys. But God, man, Bradley Chubb was so much fun to watch last year. I know everyone kind of has the harsh taste in their mouth from him launching his helmet during the Titans game. But you mentioned 11 sacks, 6 forced fumbles before the injury last year. If he can be 80% of that player down the stretch, we're going to be going real Pepe Silvia with talking about how this is how the Dolphins can get into their, you know, the playoffs. And that's something we've kind of gotten accustomed to as Dolphin fans.
Yeah, and shame on me for not having more like analytics and stats to sit, to, you know, go based off of. But let's be honest, as soon as Bradley Chubb was, you know, inserted into this defense, everyone started playing better. We even saw Jalen Phillips have, you know, his best year. Christian Wilkins as well inside. I mean, that probably had a lot to do with Zach Taylor as well. But you get what I'm saying. Bradley Chubb transforms his defense. He can set the edge, which, as we saw against the Green Bay Packers, I mean, Chop Robinson's, you know, you got to take him off the field at times because he has a liability. So I would love to get Bradley Chubb back. Love to see him just pick up where he left off and maybe, you know, be that difference maker that you mentioned it, man. We sit here and we write about this team. We come on here and we do podcasts. What, at least three times a week? I think Plenty Snatcher on Twitter said it best. Like, you don't want this season to end, because as soon as it's gone, it's all we want back. So we got to enjoy this. We got to hope they go on this run. And just because I'm posting, you know, the Dolphins are officially eliminated, doesn't mean that in my heart of hearts, I'm not sitting here praying that five wins, they can rally that, be that wild card team that somehow, you know, does the unthinkable that we've seen other teams do in the past. I mean, at the beginning of the year, we thought this team was talented AF. They're getting back a talented AF defender, and I think it's going to do wonders for this defense. I just hope it's not too little too late, but that's no fault against Chubb, right? I think December was his return table. He's right on timeline with that. So save us, Bradley Chubb. You're one of our only hopes. And Cameron Good.
What's the meme? Just because I'm upset doesn't mean I don't care. It's the old guy. It's like pouring rain, and he's got the umbrella over his
head. I'm the old guy.
Josh, we are all the old guy at this point.
This season, man, we have aged like 10 years this year.
Going through, it's like outside, it's snowing, it's looking like cloth, but man, that's every day as a Dolphins fan. Dolphins edge rushers this year have 9 sacks, Chop Robinson 3.5, Emmanuel Ogba 3.5. I think both of those guys have been exactly what you wanted. Not going to be September to January players, but you just want those flash weeks, maybe weeks they can turn games on their heads. I think they've been great. Miami's only other sacks from edge rushers, Quentin Bell has one, Jalen Phillips has one. But Josh, I was kind of caught off guard because it being a Thursday game, I think the Dolphins made a couple roster moves that swept under the rug pretty quickly. First and foremost, Tyus Bowser was placed on injured reserve. He wasn't a huge playmaker, but a consistent piece, somebody you're not like, oh God, Tyus Bowser's on the field. But man, it's just, the luck at edge rusher just continues to be absolutely brutal for the Dolphins, where you start to wonder, is it not luck? What's going on here where all these guys are just one after another?
Yeah, I don't know what that is. I mean, that's something I know people have talked about, the training staff and things need to be looked at. I can't go that deep into it, but there's clearly an issue there. I don't want to touch on it too quick, but you said Chop Robinson, man, and how he's kind of the player we expected. Does that go back to your no Igbinoghene stuff and things? Like, I mean, they drafted this guy as a young, raw player that we were eventually going to see, and he kind of got thrust into action. So not really sure I was going with that. But I think where we're at right now, man, Tyus Bowser going out, we still have to be optimistic about the Dolphins having Kendall Fuller, right? I think I just spun around the circle. Did I bring this back, Jake? Kendall Fuller? Did I bring it back to us?
Kendall Fuller, who has not played since November 11th against the Rams. Mike McDaniel's optimistic that Fuller will be able to go. We aren't going to know more until the injury reports start coming up, but he is still on injured reserve, but we're hoping he can progress through those final steps over these next few days, because I think we're complaining a lot, but that I think Kendall Fuller was a good move by the Miami Dolphins. The secondary as a whole is a mess, but in terms of single additions, I think Fuller's been awesome. McDaniel was less optimistic about Cam Smith dealing with the shoulder injury and Kader Kohu, his back injury. And Cam Smith is far less likely to go over Kohu. But Josh, considering Aaron Rodgers, he's going to throw the ball quite a bit. Garrett Wilson, Devontae Adams. I'm not saying that Cam Smith or Kohu can shut down either of those players, but you'd rather have your guys healthy instead of Storm Duck, who we saw against the Packers do a little bit of a risk-reward show at times with trying to pursue a couple balls where I didn't really think he had a shot. You know, your eyes get a little too big sometimes.
Yeah, his eyes were definitely a little too big. Kendall Fuller, maybe losing him earlier, you know, that could have been that real, I don't want to say stung to that defense, but I mean, we saw a difference with Kendall Fuller out there in that secondary, right? So I hope we can get Kader Kohu back. I know he's not playing his best football right now or even last season. I know a lot of people are pointing to him as one of those guys maybe making business decisions, but when he's out there, man, he makes that secondary better, regardless of what people think. I am a little bit worried about this matchup. I know before I have tweets where I was a little bit scared when the Jets did sign Aaron Rodgers. That has not come to fruition, but doesn't it just feel like that's so Dolphins, Jake, where, you know, Aaron Rodgers would just show a little glimpse of that player that, you know, the New York Jets traded and gave all that money to. I mean, that just seems like where we're at. But I'm hoping we're sitting here and we're just laughing. You know, why would the Jets invest so much in them? Dolphins run away with this one, as we've seen all throughout Tua's career. I don't think Tua's lost to the Jets. I'm spiraling a little bit there, but I don't think he's lost to the Jets in his career either.
No, and that's kind of one of the feathers he's got in his cap, him, Waddle. Hopefully the same is true for my fantasy team. It's not the Bills, and we need it to happen against the Bills, but in terms of the Jets, in terms of the Patriots, those guys have been a step ahead, and that's always what you look for. Those are the guys you want to resign. You just wish that could have included Andrew Van Ginkel, Robert Hunt, Brandon Jones, these guys who really have been playmakers for teams in recent weeks. I digress. Josh, before I wrap up here, I kind of wanted to go through the weekend because one of my memories, I go back to, I think it was that 2008 year, but man, it's kind of every year as a Dolphin fan. You're getting ready for the holidays, you're getting together with family, and you're just going through all the different scenarios of how we can reach the playoffs. So I want to just go through a couple of the teams that the Dolphins are competing with, and the Dolphins got, like I said, no help this weekend. Kind of rooting for the Chargers to lose out. That'd be one way the Dolphins could sneak in, but they beat the Falcons 17-13 to prove to 8-4 on the season. Their final five games, the Chiefs, the Bucks, the Broncos, the Patriots, and the Raiders. Josh, four out of five teams still competing in the, competing for a spot in the playoffs, so none of those are going to be easy for the Chargers. But man, a Falcons win would have been huge.
I like to keep going. Yeah, I mean, we can always, you know, root against Herbert, as, you know, I liked him pre-draft. We can always, you know, root against him. Chiefs, Bucks, Broncos, those are some tough matchups. So, and then you got the Patriots and Raiders as a divisional game. So it would have been nice to see Kirk Cousins and company somehow pull that one out. I would have liked to see Kyle Pitts do anything. But yeah, we'll root against Chargers. I think that that is one team that will definitely lose a few of those games.
Yeah, I must be drunk because I said that the Patriots are a playoff team. There are three teams, the Chiefs, Broncos, and Bucks are competing for a playoff spot. Yeah, man, Kirk Cousins was one of the guys that, you know, if you want to try to get some engagement on X, the Dolphins should sign Kirk Cousins, and he's just been an absolute struggle there since arriving in Atlanta. Some games with multiple turnovers, so that's been pretty brutal. The Steelers, Josh, was another team. Either the Steelers or Ravens, I thought one of those two were going to kind of maybe fall off a cliff a little bit. The Steelers a little bit more because Russ can only cook for so long. But the Steelers, man, 44-38 win over the Bengals. The Bengals are pretty much done for the year at 4-8. But I'm kind of hoping they're one of those teams that stay competitive with the Broncos and Steelers left on their schedule.
Yeah, I have egg on my face with Russ. I think I was all about keeping Justin Fields. Thought that was crazy. And he, I mean, I don't know how long he can cook, like you said, but he's been cooking. And the Bengals, I mean, what a disappointing team that is. I mean, we could kind of relate to that, right? Joe Burrow, when he's healthy, you know, that team can look awesome. But, you know, when he's out of the lineup, i.e. like two, or just when things are in disarray, that team is underachieving big time. So I would have liked to see that Steelers matchup in the playoffs if the Dolphins could sneak in, right? Deshaun Elliott and company talking about how
Minka Fitzpatrick.
Oh, and Minka Fitzpatrick. Wow. And we could probably even go deeper. I'm sure there's probably some people that are missing, but that would be the matchup.
Oh, Landon Roberts. Oh, I think he's their starting linebacker too.
They got all of our favorite, like all of the tackling dudes into dudes, like the guys that we thought were replaceable. And now we're looking at them like, dude, this defense will be much better with those guys. Yeah, the Steelers, man. I was waiting for him to fall off cliff. It's just not going to happen.
The Bengals are in an interesting spot, Josh. I mean, when you consider them 3-4 games under 500, Ja'Marr Chase doesn't have a contract going into next season. T. Higgins doesn't have a contract going into next season. That's kind of how the Bengals work. Their ownership's a little, God, man, for lack of better words, I'm just going to say old-fashioned. I'd also say dumb. But do you play the, like if you're T. Higgins and you got the franchise tag and you're under the impression that this is going to be your last year, you're about to be a free agent, are you going out there and trying to ball out? Are you, like, can the five games really change how much you're going to get paid? And for Ja'Marr Chase, I guess the same boat. I mean, you know he's the top A1 stud. So, like, not only as somebody who wants, you know, the Bengals to push the Broncos and Steelers, but even, like, fantasy football, how are you feeling about those guys?
Yeah, I mean, I would love to sit here and say those guys should go out there, you know, they're getting paid, this, that, and the other thing. But, I mean, yeah, I don't know that I could sit here and fault them if, you know, they take a step back or, you know, they're not going out there and trying as hard as they are. They don't care about our fantasy football teams, which you keep talking about, man. You're probably doing a lot better than I'm in so many leagues, and I think I've snuck into the playoffs in one after just looking so nice like 3 weeks ago. So I've done the same Dolphins. I've fallen off a cliff just like the Dolphins. But to get back to this, man, if I'm T. Higgins, Ja'Marr Chase, yeah, I wouldn't be balling out. I think Ja'Marr Chase is going to get paid by the Bengals, right? T. Higgins, I think I see people alluding to Mike Tomlin kind of, you know, saying nice things about him. So T. Higgins is going to be, you know, one of those prized possessions in the open market. Yeah. But yeah, that's, I just can't, but like, we look back at that draft and everyone likes to say the Tua and the Herbert and the Burrow and Love. But like, if you squished them all around, like, would anything be like, I feel like all these teams would still not be having success and we'd all still be in these same situations we're in, which is a bigger issue for all of those teams.
So Justin Herbert, I don't think has looked great. There are scenarios where he's getting his receivers absolutely murdered. We talked about the Joe Burrow and his injuries. Jordan Love, man, I think he's got some inconsistencies. He entered this week with 11 turnovers last week. So you can't look at any of these guys and say like they're a top 1A. And I'm not saying, you know, Tua's better than any of them, but I'm just saying like there are warts on all of them. And it's really just trying to digest of like how many of these can we accept and still try to win with. So it's a real unique draft class where I don't think has been decided whatsoever. Obviously Burrow goes to the Super Bowl, but I don't think the conversation, especially in today's society where it's all about the rings, I don't think it matters until you, and we didn't even talk Jalen Hurts. And we look at what the Eagles are doing with Saquon Barkley. He might end up being the one who just, you know, rises above the rest, just with how great that team looks. We're going to a second Super Bowl chance to win it. I don't know, man.
Yeah, and I with his draft, like where he was drafted, I mean, Jalen Hurts, that was probably the and that's what good teams do, right? They had Carson Wentz at the time and they didn't give a shit about his feelings. They said, you know what, we're gonna draft this guy, keep him in waiting, and that's what good teams do. But it is just funny because you go on Twitter, X, whatever you call it, you'll see the constant bickering back and forth about Herbert, Burrow, Tua, Love, and everyone says it like it's so black and white, but it's not at all. I mean, I think all these teams at one point were very happy with who they drafted. I don't know why I'm spinning out of control. Long way of saying the Bengals are absolutely cooked, man, and I don't know where they go from here other than, you know, a new head coach, which I thought that was going to come many, many years ago, for being honest.
It's after Thanksgiving. The Patriots continue to be annoying. They lost to the Colts 25-24. The Colts have the Broncos, Titans, Giants, and Jaguars on the calendar. I know we're all trying to forget it, but this is a Colts team that did beat the Dolphins, so this will be one to watch. They have the same record. I guess in theory, Josh, you're just wondering, can the Dolphins win out and the Colts lose one? Obviously, you know, every week this is going to become more clear, but that's kind of where I'm at for the Dolphins. If you lose one, considering we're going to talk about the Broncos in a second, considering the Colts, and they do want to keep putting the Bengals on the in the hunt graphic. I don't know. I'm at a spot where you got to win out. You can't mess around with how the Colts are acting. And with that being said, though, the same justification that we believe why the Dolphins can win out is why they're 5-7. So.
Yeah, and I mean, it's so easy to sit here and look at these different games and say, like, this team's going to win. It's not that, it's football, right? Even against Sunday, but looking at that, it is going to come down to, right, the Colts need to at least lose one and the Dolphins win out. I mean, that's the right scenario, right? That's pretty much it set in stone, because that seems to me like it's kind of possible.
Well, that's. So hear me out, Josh. That'd be for the eighth seed. So you'd also need the Broncos to go 2-3 down the stretch. So you have the Colts and the Colts and the Dolphins are both on the outside looking in. They're both in the hunt. They both have the same record. So you just want the Colts to lose one so you can just forget about them completely. Because in reality, the team the Dolphins are focused on, and in reality, the Dolphins shouldn't be focused on any team, because I think if you go 10-7, you're making the playoffs. But at 8-5, after a 41-32 win over the Cleveland Browns and Jameis Winston, the Denver Broncos are 8-5. Josh, they entered the week with an 82-point differential with Bo Nix. So they'll have a bye next week. The Dolphins have a chance to inch up a little bit. But man, the Colts, the Chargers, the Bengals, and then the Chiefs. God, that Browns schedule, or that Broncos schedule, looks tough, but if they lost to the Browns, the world would be wide open.
Yeah, I'm glad you spelled that out for me, because I kept seeing everyone saying about the Colts and winning out, and I see now that the whole thing comes down to Bo Nix and company. And I mean, you look at that in the beginning of the year, man, that would have been a favorable schedule, right? I mean, you got Herbie, and they're all, that's a divisional game, the Chiefs. I mean, but you could also see them going either way. So you're giving me a little bit of hope. I don't know if I should feel any hope. I don't know that any of us should until, you know, maybe 3 or 4 wins, right? Then maybe we should start getting excited. But man, I'm pretty impressed with what I saw out of Bo Nix and the Denver Broncos. And I tweeted out that, you know, Stephen Ross is right about Lamar Jackson. Was he right to want to trade? Didn't he want to trade picks for Sean Payton as well? Like, just before the whole Mike McDaniel thing, like, there's just so many different timelines, man, where we don't know what would have happened to this team. When you see Bo Nix balling out, a team that we absolutely murdered, what, last season, 70 points, or was it 2 years? I can't remember. We were all so hyped about
last
it.
Year.
So the greatest of highs. I mean, now they're sitting here, we're praying they can fall to even sneak into the playoffs. I mean, my, how the Dolphins have fallen.
Should have kicked the field goal to make it 73-20. Yeah, my bad there. If I said the Broncos got to go 2-3, 2-2 with four games left. The Colts, Chargers, Bengals, and Chiefs. God, I think the Bengals are the biggest question. If the Bengals are just playing and actually going out there trying to win, which I do think they are going to, you go back, Josh, you think about that 2019 season, the game that decided a lot of these dominoes was that Bengals-Dolphins game, which was like a crazy, crazy back and forth where I think the Dolphins were winning a lot of the game. Bengals came back, man, with like 20 points in the last something crazy happened. I just remember driving home, getting home where the Dolphins were projected to win by 14 at the time, and it was like a tie ball game going into overtime. Absolutely insane. But man, it's just a shame. Like, we do this podcast year round. We've done this podcast, what, 5 years at this point, longer than that? I don't know. And the fact it's, here's December. Let's talk about how we can win a wild card. The Dolphins were up three games with five to go last year against the Buffalo Bills, and instead we get to deal with a fifth straight AFC title. I just don't know how, like, I don't know how people in the building can stomach that. I genuinely have no idea.
I'm laughing because you say we've been doing it for 5 years, and like, have we moved anywhere? Like, are we still not in the same damn spot? It's like we're on a treadmill. We're like in, was it like Mario, Super Mario 2, where they had quicksand, or was that in Olimar? I don't remember, but you know what I'm saying, man. It just feels like we're stuck in the same damn spot we were 5 years ago, talking about the same things. Like, it was, oh man, and we love this team, and our love's never gonna shy away, and that's what makes us sickos, man. And somehow we're still in the hunt. We're still in the hunt. We got to remember that. Damn.
And, you know, Josh, there's always a cure. There's always a way to feel a little better. Let's wrap the show here with some fun stats. The Jets are 3-9. They were held scoreless in the second half against the Seahawks, who scored 10 unanswered points in the fourth quarter to escape with a win. And the New York Jets are the first team in the Super Bowl era to be favored in 9 of their first 12 games and end up 3-9 or worse per ESPN Stats and Info. So, Josh, we're down bad, but it always feels like the Jets can make us feel a little better. Famous last words.
Oh, that was definitely the famous last words. But yeah, I mean, but I always look back at it, man. Like, they saw Mark Sanchez like win a playoff game, right? Like, I kind of have some hatred towards them too. Like, F the Jets. I just hope this doesn't come back to bite us.
I'm feeling good about this weekend. I think the Jets are very helpless. It's really weird because they were like, they went into the offseason, we're really going to invest on the offensive line, we're really going to focus on the offensive line, and Rodgers is still pressured every single play. And I also can't stand Rodgers, so it's kind of fun seeing him not only get knocked on his tail, but he continues to deflect blame to the media and all this stuff. It's fun to watch. It's fun to watch New York kind of fall apart over and over. And like I said, famous last words.
That has to be part of the reason he's crumbling, though, right? Because everyone, 99% of people are rooting for his downfall, and it's nice to see it all play out, especially when he got traded to the Jets, all that draft capital, all that big money. I hope he's there for 10 more years.
That is it. That is all we have on today's Another Dolphins podcast. Thank you all so much for joining. A little bit of a rant, a little bit of a fiesta we had going on here with a bit of nonsense. The Dolphins are in an awkward spot, but man, we're going to keep on pushing through. We will be back with a new show Friday evening. Kat will be with us to preview Sunday's game from Hard Rock Stadium. It's crazy to say it's December 3rd. The Dolphins only have 2 home games left in the season. But if you are liking what you're listening to, would like to follow along with the show for not only the home games, but into the 2025 season, make sure you hit that subscribe button. And if you have a moment, we'd appreciate it if you could leave a review, leave a comment. That stuff always helps others find the show, so we greatly appreciate it. You want to hang out with Josh and I's beautiful faces, 560 WQAM YouTube channel. We always check the comments there. We were going to get into some of those comments today from the last show. We kind of feel a lot of the frustrations the fans are having, so we wanted to discuss those. But considering the Bradley Chubb and Cameron Good practice windows open, we figured we should talk about that, seeing that Bradley Chubb, a Pro Bowler, could have a big impact. But that is it. That is all the time we have. Thank you all so much for listening to Another Dolphins Podcast. We will talk to you soon, but until then, hands up.
Boop.